Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
And welcome to worship at Wilmslow Methodist Church. We welcome visitors, people here for the first time, and hope you will join us for refreshments in the lounge at the end of this service. We also welcome anyone from Stile Chapel. Our hearts go out to our friends from Stile. The church has been very badly hit by last week's floods, and we hope it will be restored to full glory in the very near future. But meantime, they will be very welcome, and you will be very welcome here any time at all. So we welcome also those who will be listening to the recording of this service and our friends at Carl's Court. And this morning we're delighted to welcome Pat James to lead our service. A couple of other announcements. First of all, absolutely critical, this week coming is maintenance week here. And from Tuesday morning, from about 9:30, Ian will be leading working groups to do all sorts of jobs to keep this place shipshape. And I'm assured that it doesn't matter how old you are, there is always a job for you. So you'll be very welcome. Also, anyone who is available to do a job in the evening also, see Ian, or there is a notice on the office door that you can sign up to. Thank you for your continuing support for Foodlink. The basket in the foyer there is waiting for your contributions. Please continue to support it, especially through the school holidays this summer. So, as we prepare ourselves for worship this morning, the choir will sing an introit.
I bring you greetings from your brothers and sisters at Cheadle-Hume. My friend Kath has brought me here this morning, and she's looking forward to chatting with you over coffee after the service. It's a joy and a privilege to meet together to worship the Lord our God. We are his children, and he longs for us to spend time with him. And so we begin by singing number 28, Jesus Calls Us Here to Meet Him. This may not be familiar, but the tune is really easy, and we're singing just verses 1 to 3. So let's stand as we are able and sing number 28.
Oh.
We come to our prayers of praise. Let us pray. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we praise you for the hope, joy, and peace with which you fill our lives and overflow our days. We live in a rapidly changing world. Every day, the things we have long taken for granted are questioned. The assumptions we have made are undermined, and those on which we had relied are being washed away in the flood tide of progress. Again and again, we are reminded of our human frailty, our mortality, and the fickleness of human nature. We praise you for Jesus Christ, for his life, death, and resurrection, and for the assurance that he is the solid rock on which we can build our lives in confidence that in the midst of the chaos of life, he is forever the same. In the midst of our unreliability, Christ stands firm as our unchanging Saviour. In the midst of our confusion, Christ remains our unchangeable living Lord. We praise you for Jesus Christ, the one through whom we have confidence to enter your presence, that he lifts us up when we fall, holds us when we are hurting, and loves us even when we are in the wrong. We praise you for making us to be your special possession. We praise you more that being your people does not depend on our goodness, our worthiness, or even on our usefulness, but on Christ, the King of glory and the head of the church. Lord, we bring our praises in the name of our changeless Saviour. Amen. Jesus is the foundation of our faith, his death and resurrection. And so we sing number 351, In Christ Alone My Hope Is Found. Let's stand as we are able and sing number 351.
Thank you.
We come to our prayer of confession. Let us pray. Lord, only you are perfect. We all have bad habits of some description, trivial things like leaving the top off the toothpaste. But some bad habits go much deeper. Addictions, excesses, gossiping, impatience, intolerance or malice. Lord, forgive us our failings and our own futile attempts to break free from them. We need you to point them out to us and to enable us to overcome them. With you, we can conquer anything. Help us continually to raise our eyes to you, to worship by acting our faith and not just speaking it. Thank you that just as the sun rises on each new day, so we too can have a fresh start each day with you. Amen. David's going to bring us our reading from the Psalms.
Psalm 49, reading from Psalms Now. How foolish are the creatures of God! They accumulate wealth and imagine themselves secure in possessions and property. Or they use some inborn gift and bask in the plaudits of their peers. They live for themselves alone and give no thought to eternity. They claim that God is simply not necessary to their existence. He is just a big thumb in the sky, designed to pacify the weak and the childish. They claim that they must be sufficient unto themselves. They don't need the extra baggage of faith and religion. But when riches melt away, health fails, talents wear thin, and remaining years become few, when no one honours them or expresses concern, then these foolish creatures stand naked and exposed in empty despair. Their fortress is breached. They're flattened and defeated. Life, what little of it there is left, no longer has meaning for them. Then they may look desperately for the God they discarded in their youth. Let us consider carefully the security of a loving relationship with God. Let us mouth his praises and demonstrate in our lives the eternal joy of knowing him and living as his children. We need not depend on this world's wealth, nor the accolades of human beings. We need not fear the end of our days upon this earth. God is forever, and also the souls of those who are committed to him. Clap your hands. Shout for joy. God is real, and he is here.
Thank you. Our next hymn is number 678, Come All Who Look to Christ Today. Let's stand as we are able and sing number 678. Now we'll have a reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians.
The reading is from Colossians 3, verse 1 to 17. So if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, whatever in you is earthly: fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming on those who are disobedient. These are the ways you also once followed when you were living that life. But now you must get rid of all such things: anger, wrath, malice, slander, and abusive language from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have stripped off the old self with its practices and have clothed yourself with the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge according to the image of the Creator. In that renewal, there is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free, but Christ is all and in all. As God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. bear with one another, and if anyone has a complaint against another, forgive each other. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. Above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony, and let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in the one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Teach and admonish one another in all wisdom, and with gratitude in your hearts, sing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Amen.
Thank you. I wonder how that reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians made you feel. When I first read it through, I could picture Paul holding a big stick and waving at his listeners. You've been bad. You must stop being bad. He talks about putting to death whatever in you is earthly. And the reading for today stopped there. So I've been a little bit rebellious this week. I read on and found Paul talking about positive things, the positive qualities that the Colossians needed to develop. And I felt that these two things needed to go together. Recognising that we're not perfect and we need to get rid of some things from our lives goes along with developing good qualities to replace them. Paul's letters aren't easy to read, are they? They're not chatty like the ones my mum used to write. They're densely packed with wonderful insights. And in this chapter, Paul's dealing with the practical matter of how men and women should live. Men and women who've become Jesus' disciples. He starts by saying, set your minds on things that are above. And some translations say, seek the things above, or keep seeking. They make it very clear that we are to make a determined effort to keep focused on heavenly things, because it's so easy to become distracted and to take our eyes off Jesus. Thinking about Jesus' heavenly kingdom will affect how we live in the world today. Keep your treasure in heaven, Jesus said. Paul tells us to break free from the tyranny of the flesh. So what's he talking about? He focuses on two aspects of this tyranny. First, he talks about sexual immorality, and then about sins that damage human relationships. The words that Paul uses to describe sexual immorality can be interpreted in different ways, and we'll all have our own ideas about what's acceptable and what's not. What fascinates me is that Paul includes greed at the end of this list. He says that greed is idolatry. Being focused on having more than we need, focused on amassing possessions, takes our focus away from Jesus. And that's a challenge. I already have so much, and I keep on acquiring more. It's really easy. There are so many shops to go to, shopping channels on the telly, and so much stuff on the internet. Let's be realistic. We do need things. We do need money. But it's the obsessive love of things and of money that becomes idolatry. So what are the sins that Paul identifies that damage human relationships? There's quite a list. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language and lying. These are all things that come from our tongues. You'll remember the playground rhyme, sticks and stones may break my bones, but names will never hurt me. Oh, but names do hurt, and unkind words. And we see how damaging malice and slander are when they're posted on the internet. Damaging words that are shared so easily. outright lies that are posted as though they are true. What used to be whispered to a few people is now shared with the whole world. And the person who is the object of these lies, the person who's been maliciously targeted, has their life made a misery. But we would never do that. Many of us wouldn't even know how to begin. So does that let us off the hook? We wouldn't deliberately tell lies about anyone, but do we sometimes repeat that story we heard? It was such a good story, and maybe we add a bit to it before we pass it on. I say to my friend, "This is between you, me, and the gatepost, so I know it won't go any further." But then it dawns on me that sometimes I forget when a story is supposed to be confidential. Can I be sure that my friend will remember to keep it to herself? Paul goes on to say that we are all equal in God's sight. There is no longer Greek and Jew, circumcised and uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave and free. And in a similar list in Galatians, Paul includes male and female. We know what a barbarian is, but what's a Scythian? These were the natives whose culture was seen to be backward. But Paul's saying that all these people are equal in God's sight. And he's describing people that the Colossian Christians might not want to have as part of their church. We won't find people to fit these categories here in Wilmslow, so I wonder, who is it that we, as individuals, find it difficult to include in our church? The easy ones are the ones that look like us, sound like us, have the same ideas as us about the Bible and about life in general. But I wonder who the difficult ones are. Paul says that we are all equal in God's sight, even the people that we find difficult. So let's move on to the positive part of this passage. Paul says that we are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. Isn't that wonderful? We are God's chosen ones, holy and beloved. And Paul goes on to say that because we are God's chosen ones, we should clothe ourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness and patience. These are like the opposites of the characteristics that Paul tells us to put to death. So when do we need compassion and kindness? And exactly what is compassion? I looked it up. Compassion, a strong feeling of sympathy and sadness for the suffering or bad luck of others, and a wish to help them. Does that remind you of one of Jesus' stories? The Good Samaritan? Love your neighbour as you love yourself, and your neighbour is anyone you meet who needs help. But the best way of going about helping someone can sometimes be difficult to work out. What do you do for the homeless person you pass on the streets in Manchester or Stockport, holding out a cup, asking for your change? I find it upsetting, especially if it's a woman. I'm moved with compassion, but what's the best thing that I could do for them? If I give them money, will they spend it on alcohol or drugs? Well, I could buy them a sandwich and a cup of coffee, or buy the big issue if they're selling it, or contribute to a charity that works to help the homeless. Which brings us to humility, meekness, and patience. These sound like the qualities you need in order to deal with someone who's difficult. We need humility so that we won't get into a confrontation. And meekness, not so that we appear weak, but to change the situation. Proverbs tells us that a soft answer turns away wrath, while a harsh word stirs up anger. Turning away wrath sounds like a good thing to be able to do when you're dealing with a difficult person. And patience. Anyone who's had to cope with children, their own or someone else's, will know how much you need patience. Our patience can be tested by adults too. It could be members of our family or friends or just people we come across. Patience is a very useful attribute. Recently, I was reading a book with the title Prison to Praise. It's a remarkable story. And the thing that has stayed with me was reading about how the author discovered an amazing thing. He and his friends were faced with Michael, a man who was very difficult to get on with. Michael really needed to change. But they couldn't change him. So they decided to praise God for Michael just the way he was. The remarkable thing was that they found that now they could get on with Michael. He hadn't changed, but having praised God for him, the things that had got in the way before had lost their power to irritate. And this put me in mind of a man that I find it difficult to get on with. He really winds me up. So the next time I was going to be in a meeting with him, I took the time to praise God for him just the way he is. And I found myself smiling. And you won't be surprised to hear that I don't find him irritating anymore. He's lost the power to wind me up. Now I praise God for him every time that I'm going to meet him. I wish I'd discovered this years ago. It would have saved a lot of aggravation. But what does Paul say when we have a genuine complaint about someone? He tells us to forgive each other, just as the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And he goes on, above all, clothe yourselves with love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. Jesus told his disciples, love one another as I have loved you. Paul says, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell richly in you. Which brings us back to keeping focused on Jesus. When the peace of Christ rules in our hearts and the word of Christ dwells richly in us, that's when we will be blessed with all these positive qualities. Do you think the world would be a better place if everyone followed Paul's advice? I think so. We're going to think of some different sorts of people that we know, or it could be just a character in a soap opera. Think of a bully. If they felt compassion, they wouldn't be able to bully someone or take advantage of them. Think of a parent struggling to bring up their children, permanently cross with them. How much better if they could be kind to them? Think of someone who's always right, never allowing another point of view to be expressed, intimidating everyone so that they dare not express their ideas. Wouldn't it be wonderful if they were filled with humility and actually were willing to listen? Think of someone who's abrasive, always ready to get into an argument, relishing the verbal combat, but making their family or friends feel uncomfortable, even afraid. If only they could find a soft answer that turned away the wrath. Think of someone who's working in a care home where some of the elderly people have lost all the social graces, who don't remember to say please or thank you, who are grumpy and demanding. How impossible their job would be if they didn't have patience. Think of someone who never experienced love as a child, who was brought up by people who didn't know how to show love, and so doesn't know how to show love themselves. Love is so important for a person to thrive, being loved and being able to love. If we're going to let the peace of Christ rule in our hearts, if we're going to let the word of Christ dwell in us richly, then first we need to know Jesus And we do. But so many people living near us, walking down Wilmslow High Street, don't know Jesus. How can we invite them to get to know him and have all these benefits that come to us, all these positive qualities? Well, you have a whole variety of groups here at church that people can join in to get involved with the church, to get to know you and to be introduced to Jesus. Your mindfulness and Christian spirituality course enables people to reduce their stress, and it introduces them to Christian spirituality and introduces them to Jesus. Your In Together Dementia Cafe provides support for people who are caring for someone with dementia, who's often a spouse. Here are people who have so much need for the qualities that we've been thinking about this morning. By supporting them, you are helping them to show kindness, compassion, patience, and most of all, love to the person they are caring for. So Paul encourages us to get rid of earthly desires and to take on positive qualities, letting Jesus' peace and Jesus' word fill us. And I found a Celtic poem which sums up our thoughts this morning. It's entitled God in All Things. God to enfold me, God to surround me, God in my speaking, God in my thinking, God in my sleeping, God in my waking, God in my watching, God in my hoping, God in my life, God on my lips, God in my soul, God in my heart, God in my day's work, God in my slumber, God in my living soul, here and in heaven. Amen. God of the poor, friend of the weak, give us compassion, we pray. And so we sing number 693, Beauty for Brokenness. Let's stand as we are able and sing number 693.
Thank you.
We come to God with our prayers for other people. Let us pray. Father God, we lift up to you those people who have had to leave their homes in Whaley Bridge. We ask your blessing on them as they cope with uncertainty, not knowing when it will be safe for them to return home, not knowing whether the dam will hold, fearing that their homes will be damaged. Lord, we praise you for the police whose actions are keeping them safe. We praise you for the engineers, the fire officers, and the helicopter pilots who are using their skills to repair the dam and to lower the level of the water. We pray for the safety of all who are working on the dam, and we pray that the dam will hold. Father God, we lift up to you our brothers and sisters at Stile, coping with the flood at their church. We ask you to sustain them as they survey the damage and work to restore their place of worship. Father, we lift up to you those people whose lives are dominated by anger, who fly off the handle at the least little thing. Father, we pray that they may be set free from the tyranny of anger, set free to love. And Father, we pray for the people around them who suffer the effects of their anger, family, friends, workmates. Lord, we ask you to bless them with the soft answer that turns away wrath. And we pray for them to be set free from the tyranny of anger, set free to be loved. Father God, we lift up to you those people whose lives are dominated by malice, slander and abusive language. People who just can't stop themselves from saying things that are unkind, cruel, harmful. Father, we pray that they may be set free from the tyranny of hurtful words, set free to be full of kind words. And Father, we pray for the people around them who suffer the effects of their words. Lord, we ask you to bless them with the soft answer that turns away wrath. And we pray for them to be set free from the tyranny of hurtful words, set free to hear kind words. Father, we lift up to you those people who are bullies. We pray that they will be set free from the things that cause them to become bullies, set free to be filled with compassion. And we pray for the people who suffer at the hands of bullies, living in fear of the next attack, whether that attack comes with words or with fists. Father, we pray that they will be set free from fear, set free from the trap of feeling worthless, set free to feel worthy of being loved. Father, we lift up to you those people who are struggling with life and know that they are in need of patience and kindness. We think of a parent struggling to cope with a challenging child, a carer struggling to cope with a loved one who no longer recognizes them, a loved one whose physical needs are becoming too much to deal with. Father, we ask you to bless them with patience and kindness, and we pray that they will receive the help that they need. Father, we lift up to you those who can't resist an argument and always have to win, who won't accept any point of view that doesn't agree with theirs. Father, we ask you to bless them with humility and meekness. Father, we pray for our country. We ask you to bless our leaders with wisdom and humility, and bless our communities with a desire to care for the vulnerable. Father, we pray for our world. We pray for cooperation between nations. We pray for justice and an end to conflicts, so that everyone may live in peace. We pray for ourselves. We admit that there are times when we get angry and say unkind things. We are sorry. Please forgive us. We ask you to bless us with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, and patience. O Lord, we pray that the peace of Christ will rule in our hearts and the word of Christ will dwell richly in us, so that we may show your love to everyone we meet. In a few moments of silence, we bring to God the people we know who need his blessing today. Let us bring our prayers together as we say the prayer that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Please could we take up the offertory. Father God, we bring to you these gifts of money as a symbol of our lives dedicated to you. Lord, we pray that they will be used to bring your kingdom here in Wilmslow. Amen. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Saviour am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. It's number 548, Blessed Assurance, Jesus is mine. Let's stand as we are able and sing number 548.
Oh,
as we seek your daily renewal, help us to become the people you created us to be. Help us to live each day, joyfully celebrating our new life in you, honoring your name in all we do and say. Amen. And now let's bless each other with the words of the grace. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen.